You're listening to Sports and Life with Cameron Datsker, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody.
Hey.
Welcome to our post-4th of July party.
And it is a party in here. You're missing out.
You know, the freeways were light where I was coming from. The 405.
Oh, yeah. Well, you were coming from the right direction. I was in the opposite direction trying to get in here.
I was going to Gelson's, man. I'm going to Gelson's, and I met everybody that was nuts that was in a hurry. I'm in a hurry. I have a rap party. I'm in a hurry.
I was way out on the edge of where, literally almost downtown.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God. And I was just like, I saw the traffic happening. Right. I had to finish that appointment. I ran my tushy down here to be on time.
You made it.
Hey.
You
made it. Now, what we're going to talk about, we're going to have a live interview with Ruth Anderson. And Ruth Anderson wrote a book called One Love, Divine Healing at Open Clinic.
That's fabulous. Nice.
And you'll like it because, you know, she believes in light and love, and that we come back, you know, when we die, we come back.
Really?
We have
reincarnation.
Reincarnation. And she's very interesting. So she'll be on tonight. Then,
so who comes back as the cockroach?
No, the cockroach is a lower form of life.
Yeah.
Well, that was at a restaurant.
La cucaracha.
You watch the daily news. They had a list of restaurants. And one was nice.
With cockroaches?
New got the cockroach. We got the cockroach. I was really surprised.
Who was cockroach free?
But the federal got the cockroach.
Really?
In North Hollywood. I was
the surprised. Federal in North Hollywood has cockroaches?
They said
I am not surprised.
They claim that a woman was in the bathroom and she went, ah!
Well, the thing is in this time, when this kind of weather is happening, cockroaches come up through the sewer pipes wherever they can. And it's actually the really, really big ones. And they're supposed to put this chemical down there to kill them, to stop them from going through all this stuff.
But they don't. The businesses are cheap.
Yeah, they want us to see them.
Well, it's not the businesses. It's the state of California supposed to put it in there.
Yeah, but they don't do it. You know.
The businesses are supposed to spray for bugs, though.
We're the People's Republic of California.
Republic of California declines all entrance for cockroaches.
Exactly. And also, by the way, it was 103 out here in our Sherman Oaks.
Oh, could feel that so much.
Yeah, it was
That's
crazy.
Why the air conditioner wasn't working today.
Well, I'm ready for a restaurant because I can have my margarita and fajita. Fajita, special.
Margaritas and fajitas.
Yeah.
Good.
Where are we going? Where is this?
It's a famous place. Famous place. Anyway.
We only get two free fajitas for three of us.
Oh, hey, there. We'll find out.
We're on diets anyway. Hey, it's okay, y'all.
They treat us good. Anyway, we're having a big heat wave. You know what it was? Actually, it's going to be 73 out here. It went low. And then it goes back to 105.
It's going
to
be 73 next this coming week?
Yeah.
Oh,
lovely. Can we just stay there? Hey, universe, can you just leave it at 73 for the rest of the summer?
I'm just going to go back into 98 degrees.
Yeah, well, it's going to be 89 degrees in downtown L.A.
No, I'm going back to Europe.
Rockstar,
it's
going to
be 98 degrees.
The sand.
So are you marrying this boy?
At Santa Barbara, 74 degrees. And where are we going in a week?
Santa Barbara for the French Festival.
French Festival.
I'm going to France.
Next week.
I'm going to actual France next week.
And then nice.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
You know what?
We'll see how nice the trip turns out.
we take the train.
Oh, that's right. We're taking the train out of Chatsworth.
From Chatsworth, you go all the way down.
Now, how long does it take to get up there from Chatsworth? An hour? 2 hours?
Hour.
Nice.
I think I can take the train to Italy.
And you can see the beach. You get to see the beach from your window.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
That is like sunset thing
Amtrak,
going by.
Yeah.
Oh, that's lovely. Oh,
that's California, man.
I love that.
You know what it was in Palm Springs?
They have free wine tastings in the upper level of the Amtrak.
Oh, we'll have to
find
out.
For people.
Well, I'm not a good drinker, but yeah.
Anyway, real quick. In Palm Springs, it was 122 degrees.
It's like Phoenix.
Yeah.
Phoenix is like a bazillion degrees.
I never knew it was
122 degrees. That's ridiculous.
And you know where we were?
Where?
Up in Yucca?
Oh,
118.
Yeah.
That's hot enough to cook an egg in the cement.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's cray.
Egg, yes. You put egg or whatever you can get out of the cement.
That's right, y'all. If you have no pans, just go down to Palm Springs, cook yourself an egg on the cement.
Yeah, and then you'll have yourself.
I don't know. It doesn't flip well. It doesn't flip well, though.
Tasty.
And then to our audience up in the Bay Area, it's 78.
That's hot for them.
Yeah, that's very hot
for them.
And San Diego, 73.
But they got the nice breeze coming in from the shoreline.
And Lancaster is 109. So that's the weather, the quick weather report.
Damn.
Anyway, wanted to
we're going
to
be baking like cookies.
Tell you folks that next week we're going to talk about Santa Barbara.
Santa Barbara.
Woo! So, Santa Barbara.
We have a wonderful author coming on, a noted healing expert, and the author of One Love. And her name is Ruth Anderson.
I remember a song from the 80s.
Is she calling in now?
She's going to be calling in soon.
Ruth, Colorado. Call in. We'd love to talk to you.
Yeah, come on in. And she wrote a book. And
call and join
us.
I wish we had photos.
It's called One Love, Divine Healing.
One Love. Well, you could put it on Facebook.
I'm telling you, we could.
Yeah.
You know, and
it's like that song from Jamaica, One Love.
Yeah, that's what I was telling Zeph from Bob Marley.
Ooh, I like what it says in the back of her thing about her girlfriend and that she had this clairvoyant thing.
Oh, yeah, she has
this lovely story. I like the story in the back. The story's good.
And actually, that's the story she talks about. Anyway, she's going to talk about where she changed her faith in divine healing and she got was guided to see different things. Isn't that interesting? And then she says that this changed her life completely. So we'll have her on. And guess what? We're going to try water from Starfire Water. I met them at the Dependence Expo in L.A. Mm-hmm. And I started at my house. They have it's supposed to be a pure water. If the guy shows up, is it supposed to be the water removes toxins from the body.
Yeah.
And it's made with, it's called a Starfire Water.
Alkaline water. It's the only water that can remove toxins from the body.
Yeah.
According to people who drink only alkaline water.
It comes in, by the way, I got the glass bottle I bought. And the glass bottle, the water is good. I still haven't finished it.
Oh, hello. We're getting a phone call.
Hey,
someone's calling us through Skype.
All right. Well, hello. Welcome. I love your music.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome to Ken.
Hi, Skype caller.
Is this Ruth?
Yeah. Hi. It's Ken Piper from New Jersey. How you doing?
Hey, Ken. How are you doing?
Hi,
what's going
Ken.
On?
Did you see any UFOs?
Yeah, Ken, you're going to talk
tonight. Yeah, I see him all the time.
Yeah, he sees a lot of
them. Now, here's the question. Excited. How often do they actually remove people and take them to other planets? Because seriously, I have a few people I'd love them to come take away and take them to the other side of the
how
world for us.
How many of them get probed? Are they good people or bad
I used to think
people?
That myself. I would hate to be abducted. I've read too many bad stories about abductions, and I don't want anything to do with them.
They probe you?
And do they buy you a cocktail when they're probing you?
Do you get a cocktail and leave?
You know, at least I want to smoke a cigarette afterwards.
Like
you know,
exactly.
Are they like a European rapist when they're probing, or are they like suave?
That's Amber.
Are they suave?
Yeah, they give you an upper and lower GI, from what I understand.
Oh God! Anyway,
wow.
We're going to talk tonight.
Yo.
We're going to talk
you
tonight
on the boat first.
we're going to talk tonight on back east of all the sightings back east. So tell us. The biggest, hottest sighting for the East Coast.
Well, I'll tell you what, we have a few sightings, but nothing, really spectacular. I do have three sightings out your way, though, on the 4th of July.
Okay, tell us about it.
Yeah, so we have one here, we get a lot of UFO sightings in around the 4th of July fireworks because these UFOs seem to love fireworks, and I can't blame them, really. If I was flying around my little flying saucer and saw all these crazy lights flashing off below me, I would want to check them out, and I think that's what they're doing.
But well, you should know every year.
There was a sighting July 4th in Vallejo, California.
Okay.
It was around 9 p.m. on the 4th of July, and I was trying to film the Vallejo fireworks from my porch. I was with my sister, who said, "Are those white lights fireworks?" I told her no, and at first thought, I thought it was a plane, but once I noticed there was no jet stream and it was reversing at high speed, I grabbed my phone and started recording. So this thing was flying back and forth at high speed. But then I believed it was a UFO. It was weird because it would be hovering in place and then suddenly move slowly or shoot forward
right
in high speed and then blink and be way further back, as if it reversed itself. Every once in a while, I would think it would blink very fast, and there would be a quick flash of light, and it would be way further ahead. So I began talking to my brother about it, who told me to keep recording. But my phone died. I continued to watch them when two more blinking lights appeared right next to it out of thin air, and then two more came from the right and left. They split up and hovered in place in four locations for an hour until they flew behind trees, hills, or houses. I couldn't find them again. So this was just one report from Vallejo on the 4th of July. Have you guys seen anything out there recently?
You know what they had? They did have a sighting. They did the one of the, I think it was the Huntington Beach 4th of July spectacular. There was a report of a UFO at night. It was probably about 8 o'clock at night. People reported seeing it, but I haven't seen anything to verify it. But they said there was a UFO over Huntington Beach, which is in Orange County, which is not far away, but still it's very interesting. You know, that they had a thing like that. You know,
because California is big. I know there's a ton of sightings out there, and nowadays, now that people have their phones, they have their cameras on them. It's very easy to get a picture of these things, and it's really incredible that a lot of people now that they do get a photo. I mean a object on their photos, now they feel that they have to report this to someone. So, you know, now we're getting a lot more things here. As a matter of fact, there was another one here. There was a morphine alien craft encounter in California. This was in Gardena, California, June 5th.
Oh, wow.
And this one here says, I was walking northbound from my parked truck to enter a building I work in. I always keep my eyes to the sky, even as a child. I have seen many unidentified craft in my days, and my grandfather worked for Boeing and Rockwell, and this helped create my interest in the sky watching at a very young age. Just like myself, I saw the Sputnik fly over in New Jersey back in October of 57 with my mom and dad on the front lawn of our house, and this kind of piqued my curiosity, and you know, I started looking at the stars at a young age myself. Continuing here, it says, at first glance, I thought the object was a hovering helicopter, a bunch of balloons, or possibly a drone of some sort. The lack of noise or lights made me discredit the possibility of this object being a helicopter or a drone. I work in the aerospace industry now, and my company is 5 to 10 miles from LAX. There's multiple flight paths that I observe daily to my admiration of aircraft. There are also a large number of military flights that take place in this airspace, but the military craft are usually helicopters and not jets. They're always very loud and noticeable. The V-22 Osprey fly over the 110 south and then hook a right westbound over Rancho Palo Verdes quite often as well. When I first observed the object, I was facing west from my location, and I was under the impression that it was hovering in place. In retrospect, it may have been advancing towards my position because this was the only point in my observation that I was under the impression it may have been hovering. Once I noticed it was moving, I also noticed it was doing so at a steady pace. It was traveling northeast, slightly more north direction than east, and I observed it slowly adjust its path and change direction from northeast to northwest. It appeared to be attempting to morph, despite the surface of the aircraft moving around in a very unstable and liquid style motion. Its velocity and trajectory were stable. It was almost like a cloud of heavy metallic black liquid, but its overall shape remained relatively uniform. The nature of this object made it very hard to focus my attention, despite the fact that the craft was a dark black, and the gray clouds and the sunrise made the sky very contrasted against the color of the craft. So, you know, this guy was very easy for him to see this thing. I felt as though it was tricking my eyes into looking at the clouds above it instead of the craft itself. Shortly after it changed direction northeast, it began to shift its shape more noticeably, and it went from a big morphine liquid blob to an elongated and very small boomerang type black craft that was no longer morphing. It seemed to become completely solid at this point. So, yeah, this is what this this one witness saw out there in Verde's, California, and it's that's a, you know, he seemed to be very, very detail oriented. This is a good witness.
Oh yeah,
and yeah, he did. He saw something pretty incredible out there.
Well, you don't get people, you know, in that detail talk about it because people kind of lose their trend of thought because they focus on it. But this one sounds very interesting because out there they have Rocketdyne and all these other companies have their, their plants out there, and El Segundo is where they have TRW and all these people have their engineering. So it's all out there. So anyway, very interesting. Now, Ken, I was going to ask people want to say, how can we view your information? How could they do it?
Well, go to my website. My main website is worldufophotos.org.
Okay.
I have over close to 12,000 UFO photos right now, with a ton of galleries, strange galleries, ghost galleries. You know, there's a ton of stuff on worldufophotos.org. That's my photo website. Now, my news website is worldufophotos@news.org. I got over, I got like 1,500 case files, UFO case files. I just brought some stuff up here with President Eisenhower, Eisenhower's meeting with the aliens in Edwards Air Force Base. So I just brought that one up. And also another article about things in planet and people's skins that doctors are removing. So, you know, if you get a chance, check these out. And my other website is www.kenpfeiferdiscoveries.com. That's all the discoveries I made on the moon and Mars and a lot of other places. You know, there's also a gallery there that's kind of asking if we really went to the moon in 1969.
Oh,
so
yes,
there's a lot of good stuff on there. If you get a chance, check it out.
Anyway, we appreciate your call. We're gonna switch gears a little bit, and then we're gonna go back to UFOs. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Hey, thanks for having me on, and anytime you need me, just give me a call.
Yeah, definitely. We'll have you back. No problem. All right. Thanks so much. That was Ken Pfeiffer. He's the expert on UFO stuff.
He calls
and now we're
every
gonna to,
Friday.
Now we're going to go back on.
Are we calling Ruth?
Yes.
Yeah, we're going
Thank
on Ruth.
Thank you. Yay, Ruth. Finally, Ruth.
Good evening, Ruth. Sorry for the delay.
Ruth, darling, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Ah, finally. Thank God.
Your book is phenomenal.
We love your book.
Your book is amazing.
One Love, Divine Healing at Open Clinic. So that's her book.
Yes.
Wonderful book. If you get a chance to get it, it's available everywhere, right? Pretty much?
Well, it is available paperback and Audible on Amazon.
Okay. All right. So everyone out there, as you follow our show, you can buy a copy of her book. So this way they can help you, you know, and what you do great work. Anyway, you said, interesting was, I was reading about you, you said, imagine standing in divine healing light and knowing that there is life after life. Very interesting. And after reading about your friend Sylvia, was she dying of cancer?
That's correct. Sylvia and I used to teach in Northridge, California.
Oh, you're kidding. You're step away from me.
Right. You're in the stomping grounds where we used to teach elementary school. And then I moved back to Colorado and Sylvia and I stayed very, very close. And it ended up just a couple of years ago, she became very ill and we didn't know that she had stomach cancer.
Uh-huh.
And so I would fly to California and be with her. And the day that she died, I wasn't intuitive at the time. Apparently I was, but I didn't know that I was. And I could sense when her spirit would step out of her body. And I saw in spirit her husband, who I adored, walking down the corridor of the hospital. I felt her parents outside the hospital room waiting for her. And, of course, they had been dead for many years.
Wow.
So Sylvia finally passed. And the next morning, I was driving back to LAX. And I've been away from LA so long that I'm scared to death to drive on your freeways anymore.
Oh, wow.
I was already
you and me both.
So I was already driving white knuckled, And I was sobbing in the car because I had just lost Sylvia, and I was crying to her, and just everything I wanted her to know, I was saying out loud. And I'm sobbing, and I'm praying that the people in the cars next to me can't see that I'm having a complete breakdown. And then I heard this rustling in the back seat, and I know I stopped breathing because I was scared to death. I thought, who is in the back seat of the car? And all of these thoughts went through my head of, do I pull over? Do I try to find the police station? What do I do? Because I know I'm going to die here on the freeway. And I looked in the rearview mirror, and in spirit, I saw my dear friend Sylvia and her husband Cliff, and they were riding in the back seat of the car. Just started laughing.
Well, that's
and
a beautiful
I felt like
thought.
I was in the movie Driving Miss Daisy. And it was the nicest gift I ever could have gotten. But it really taught me that there is such a thin veil between our physical realm and the spirit realm. And it was such a gift. So, yeah.
That's it. Very interesting what you're saying, because we hear about, you know, like people are dying and they are above the surgery or whatever. And I had a lot of folks talk about that on previous shows, and they said the interesting thing was when someone comes back to life, you know, and they're coming back to life, like going through a whole
out-of-body experience.
Out-of-body experience, yeah. Now, this experience, did it enhance your look at life after death, or what? How did it culminate to, that experience?
Well, right. Well, I had so many experiences with her illness and then with her passing that I started seeking out psychics that could explain to me what in the world I had been through.
Uh-huh.
And I spoke to three or four different psychics, and they all said, you have to take classes in this.
Okay.
So I started taking classes, and 2 years later, I was a minister. I had no intention of doing that and was providing services to folks, sessions to folks. And then I was doing a lot of meditating, and I was shown the most amazing things in the spiritual realm as far as an open area where souls would come for healing. And some of these souls had passed over already, so they had been in a body and then had passed away. And others were still in bodies in the physical realm. And I knew that because I knew these people. And they would come for healing. And I would see the archangels provide healing to them. And either they would keep transitioning on or they would go back to their bodies. So that's what I call divine healing at Open Clinic. So it's been an amazing journey. And the journey continues. I've been guided to provide divine healing at Open Clinic, but in the physical realm. So now I either work with clients or I'll have a workshop, and the divinity have promised me if I bring people together that they will be there and provide healing. Now the healing is on a physical level or an emotional or spiritual level, and the divinity is there. It's the craziest thing, and I love it.
No,
well,
it doesn't sound crazy.
Does,
because you're putting together a group, and it's all in harmony and love and spirituality, and things happen. They really do.
Well, they always say, whether two or more are gathered, there's God right there with us. That's what you're doing. You're creating all this beautiful divine energy, and you've got the angels there helping you. And one of the things I've learned over the years, because as well, I'm a psychic as well, is that sometimes even after someone dies, their spirit still has to heal so it can return in another body.
Right.
So sometimes we just have to keep healing. The healing experience doesn't end in this experience.
It's a never ending. You're not ever. We have to grow and learn.
Constantly.
And I was going to ask you, now your work now is, tell us about your work, what you're doing right now.
Right. So I am doing a lot of writing.
Okay.
And I'm working on a second book that I've been told is going to be something along the lines of living with spirit or walking with spirit. So I'm doing a lot of writing, and I am working with clients and doing workshops, that kind of thing. Just getting started on the workshops.
Okay, but, there's been some the inspiration for your second book.
Someone asked if you're going to have a second book.
No, I said, where is she getting her inspiration from her second book?
Oh, okay, sorry.
She said it's like other books. I don't know where she gets the inspiration from her second book.
Every single day, I spend time with Spirit, and I am just being shown thing after thing after thing. Do you all remember Disneyland when they had the e-tickets?
I'd hate to admit that I'm that old.
I know.
I'm not that old. Exactly. I don't know what you're talking about.
Every day when I wake up, I feel like I've been handed an e-ticket because I don't know what I'm going to experience that day. So it's really, the second book is going to be similar to the first one where it's written in small vignettes. So it's easy to read. It's just simple little topics, but it's just really everything that I've been learning. And I have to tell you, the last 6 weeks or so, they've been teaching me about death and what happens when we die. And I was provided a near-death experience without actually having to almost die to see it. Fascinating. And I've been writing it all down, and I can't wait to get it all compiled into the second book.
Oh, wow. That's exciting, because we'll have you on.
That really is.
We have the second book. Now, John Michael, by the way, the one who was speaking with you before, John Michael Capaldi, he is a guy that has, knows about.
Oh, yeah. Well, I do all, I work in a different realm, but yeah, I don't write what you're writing, but yes, I'm a life coach. I'm a psychic. I'm a therapist. I'm a psychologist. Mm-hmm. I've also done this kind of work for years. I've dealt with a lot of death and dealing with people with suffering and all this other stuff, and talked to the other side multiple times. And I like what you're doing. Tell us, please, about some of the things you've learned about the other side to share with us right now that's in your book.
Absolutely. So the newest archangel that I've been introduced to is Archangel Azrael, A-Z-R-A-E-L.
Oh, I love Azrael. Oh, yeah. Fantastic angel. Yes. Yes.
Right. And so what he has shown me is that the moment of death, he is right there. And I asked him, have you ever missed a death? And he said, no. I mean, he's at every single death. So while we are greeted by our loved ones, he is always there. And at that moment, it's already been predetermined what level in the energetic realm you'll go to. So the way it's been shown to me, it's almost like a high-rise apartment building in a very loose form. Okay. And I've been shown 7 different levels. Doesn't mean that there's not more, but that's just what they showed me at this time. And the top one being for the Holy of Holies, and the bottom one being what they really have described in the Bible as hell, you know, the brimstone and the fire and the screaming, and it's awful. I've seen it. I have no intention of going back. And everything's sort of in between. And what I was shown, I was taken to the third level, and I was put into this dark corridor, and somehow I knew exactly where to go. No guide was with me, but I knew where to go. And as I'm walking, if you will, down this dark corridor, all of these photos were coming by me as if I was walking down a hallway, and it was photos of my life. As you know, as they say, your life flashes before you.
Right.
In my case, it was like walking down a corridor, and tons of photos of my life came flashing by me. So I recognized that for what it was. And then I went down this other corridor, and all of a sudden I was cloaked in this, like, whitish, gray, brown, yellowy color, and the corridor was that color. And somehow I knew that I was in the wrong corridor, and I was panicked. And I, of course, going into it, I knew nothing about corridors, but I knew I was in the wrong corridor, and I kept hearing three. I didn't know what three was. And then I was taken to this council. It was this table of beings. And if I remember right, it was either 5 or 7. I have it written down. And they were all different beings. One of them in the middle was an archangel, and then different beings. And they reviewed my life with me.
Wow.
And I pleaded to not be in three because I knew I should not be in three. And because of the conversation and because of the work I've been doing, they granted me to go to two. And I thought, well, two is awesome. I'm happy with two. I'm not in the Holy of Holies. I'm thrilled to be two. So then I saw my cloak change to a lighter white color, almost like an Apache white paint. You know, it's not quite white, but it's not beige, right?
Like an eggshell color?
What was that?
I'm sorry?
Like an eggshell color?
Like an eggshell, right. Almost white, but not exactly. So my cloak changed, and then I was sent down this corridor that was the exact same color. And I'm getting two. Awesome. I was thrilled. And then I kept walking down this corridor, and it opened into this huge, massive room full of other beings in that exact same color. And so I realized that what I was seeing is what I have learned before is called the Cathedral of Souls, mm-hmm. which is where souls go after they pass. And I was on the second level of the Cathedral of Souls. So I've seen like 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and I'm actually afraid to ask to see one. And I don't know why. I've been hesitant.
You know what I was going to say is, you know, when you saw what you were able to see, it probably changed your whole perspective of life itself, I would imagine.
Yes.
And did you see family members?
I have seen family members in the Cathedral of Souls before.
Interesting.
Yes, I absolutely have. I've seen my dear friend Sylvia and Cliff in the Cathedral of Souls.
Okay.
The purpose at that particular time was to teach me about the levels and the process you go through when you pass away. So I wasn't seeing them there. But one of these days I'm going to ask to see level one. But I think if I see level one, I'm going to want to stay there. So I don't know.
I think, yeah, you'll be staying there for forever. Now, what about the, I always, a question that in the spiritual thing I belong to is the color of the body. What does it matter what the color is at death? I've heard that affects where you're going to be.
So I don't know anything about the color of the body at the moment
right.
of death,
that's
Ezreal
talking about comes like when someone dies and they turn purple or blue or and stuff like that?
Well, no, I'm saying like blue, like someone is, you know, they were in the blue color.
That makes no sense, Cameron.
Yeah, well, no, they have...
Energetically, colors are very important,
yeah.
especially on the other
but
side.
But like when you die, everyone
no,
turns
no,
the same
no,
colors.
No. Your energy and your colors are all dependent on who you were in this lifetime.
Right.
When you pass into the lifetime, your colors are the trash that's on you. So the negative stuff you've carried around or the stuff you've blamed on other people, the stuff that'll stick to you, creates a different color. But then the stuff that is actually you, if you cleared it properly, your colors are different. Remember, certain angels are also multiple. They're strong colors.
Right.
For instance, one angel could be this color, another could be that color. You know, it's very interesting how colors work
right.
because it's not that they are actually that color. It's our eyes perceive that color because
mm-hmm.
we are human. We are finite beings looking at infinite souls.
Right.
So we have to perceive at a color radiance, which is a way of, it's a vibration. So that color vibrates and tells us through what our ability to see who that person is.
Oh.
Very interesting. You know,
I feel like I'm going to be like a light blue color when I die. Like now, a Ruth, light blue, whitish color.
Ruth, getting back to what, you know, your book and everything, going through heaven, you know, the spiritual realm.
Mm-hmm.
Was there anything that shocked you about the spiritual realm?
Yes, I think so. And I talked about it in the book, actually. I was really kind of stunned that religion and the man-made doctrines are really just that.
Okay.
So the name of the book is One Love because I was taken to a place and I witnessed God's love. Call it God, call it
right.
the universe, call it whatever works for you. But it wasn't any particular religion. It was just love.
Yeah.
That was important to me.
And now let me ask you a question. We're always talking about in spirituality, we talk about love, talk about ancestors. Do they suffer in the spiritual realm?
So here's what I thought. Souls don't miss us. They're not up there pining for us. It's really sort of an odd kind of numb sort of presence. So they are not missing us. We're definitely missing them. Levels, go to your levels in the apartment building of the afterlife. Levels like 5, 6, and 7, not so good. When I was in level 6, it was like pitch dark, and there were things coming at me, and I could hear things, and I could feel things, mm-hmm. like touching me. I couldn't see them. That was not good. So there's some pretty miserable beings down on like 5, 6, 7.
Wow. And what about, you know, seeing God? Do people see God or see Jesus or whoever they believe in as they go to heaven?
I saw them. I absolutely saw them. And I've also believed in them forever, too.
Right.
So, you know, I can't say what a person who doesn't believe in God or doesn't believe in Jesus experiences. I know what I experienced, but I'm very open to God and Jesus, too. So
right.
I can't speak for that.
That's interesting. The reason I bring it up because I've had a lot of different people come on the show. I've had experiences with, you know, different folks that I met, you know. But anyway, one other thing I was going to ask you, and then we're gonna go up to Santa Barbara to talk about our and then talk about water. But one other thing is about the, you know, we talked about the spirit. So the spirit does flow to another realm. People always ask me that.
Absolutely.
Okay. So
absolutely,
does.
It does.
And do you?
Yes.
Do you,
and one of the.
Yeah. Go ahead.
One of the visions that I was given was the body at the moment of death. I saw a very strong soul moving from one body that was dying into the spiritual realm. So the spirit, the soul, is as strong before death as it is after death. It's just the body that changes.
Wow, interesting.
Very powerful.
The spirit is light. You know, it goes into its light form, right? As you die, the spirit mm-hmm. is light. Very interesting. Anyway, there's so much to talk about, but what we're going to do is we'll get you back on, and we'll give you an hour, 1 hour of your wonderful work, and we appreciate you coming on tonight.
My pleasure.
It was a show that, for me, it was very moving, and I know John Michael, and I know Amber had the same experience. So we'll have you back, and I appreciate everything, okay?
Oh, it was a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, my pleasure.
Thank you
we'll
for
get
joining
you back.
Us.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, Ruth. I look forward to talking to you some
care.
More.
All
Thanks
right.
So bye-bye.
That was Ruth Anderson.
Thank you.
And Ruth Anderson has a book called Divine Healing at Open Clinic. So it's a wonderful book on Amazon. And then we're going to call up to Santa Barbara. Is that right?
Yeah, we're going to talk to Santa Barbara next.
We're going to talk to Santa Barbara. So Santa Barbara, if you're hearing us, you can call in or we'll call you. Anyway,
we
got a
first.
Gentleman who sold me my water called Starfire. Okay.
Starfire water.
Starfire water. Tell us about Starfire. We'll get your headphones.
What is the sacred sound resonance transmission that it's made with?
I like the hat.
I just like saying, can you say it 3 times fast?
Sacred sound resonance.
Faster, faster, faster.
Sacred sound resonance transmission. Sacred sound resonance transmission. Sacred sound resonance transmission. Sacred
What we have is frequencies that are imbued into the water.
Okay.
And this is now known, like, not any, like, yoga or too spiritual.
Here we go. Oh, hold on 1 second. We're gonna talk to both.
Who are these people?
Hi, you're on Cameron Sports and Life. Is this the lady from the French Festival in Santa Barbara?
Ooh la la. Hey, hey, hey.
Ooh la la. Oui, oui.
Oui, oui.
C'est magnifique.
Bonjour. Comment allez-vous?
Okay, great. Anyway, you're going to tell us the French Festival is next week. Is that correct?
Yes.
The French. Oh.
The
Saturday and Sunday coming up.
We're going to be coming up
as a group. I think we're going to be taking that train from Chatsworth and going up the coast. It's a wonderful trip to go up to Santa Barbara.
See, and that's right. That's a very wise way to come because that way you don't have to limit your intake
of the wonderful French wines and beer.
That's right.
You let somebody else do the driving.
People are going to drink up there?
I don't know any French people who drink.
I didn't know Santa Barbara had vineyards. I didn't know Santa Barbara had vineyards. I mean, copious amounts of vineyards.
Well, they do, actually.
It's a joke, Cameron. Actually, they have like 10.
Santa Barbara does. Anyway, tell us about the food and all the different things at the French Festival, the 2010 version of the Santa Barbara French Festival.
We have so much fun planned. There's crepes, there's croissants, there's all kinds of delicious... Pardon?
No, go ahead.
Keep talking.
So we've got all kinds of delicious food. We've got everything from croque monsieur to Napoleons and le hot dog. We've got French beer. We've got French wine. We've got French soda from Diablo Soda. We've got dancing and singing and accordions on three different stages with entertainment nonstop from 11 to 7 both days. Everything from can-can and French Polynesian dance and belly dance to Edith Piaf songs and Django Reinhardt and cafe jazz. And then, of course, there's the accordion stage where you can dance to accordion music to your little heart's content.
Let's get down to Santa Barbara.
Okay, I have been to France multiple times, and I have not seen one accordion player. I've seen a man.
I have seen accordion players on the streets in Paris.
A man wheel a baby grand piano out into the center of the street and start playing that. But I have not seen an accordion player. I've seen accordion players in Poland. And in the Slavic countries, but not in France.
You need to go to the accordion sections of France.
You're going to have another event with dogs, because John Michael has two French poodles.
I have two little French poodles that are the loves of Daddy's life. They really are.
Oh, this is the place for you, because yes, on the Eiffel side, on the Eiffel stage, the culmination of the entertainment on both days is the Canine Cavalcade, which is a parade of our four-legged friends.
French poodles.
French bulldogs, wannabe poodles, that parade from the Eiffel Tower around through, led by Napoleon and our French bulldog mascot, Jelly Bean.
But do you have any papillons? Do you have any papillons? The French.
You know, I don't know who all is registered yet, because we get most of the registered.
Because that dog actually is French. Papillon is French.
Okay. Yes.
Anyway,
Poodles are actually French, but they're not. I mean, poodles are.
They're German. They're actually German. The word poodle means puddle jumper.
Exactly. That's why I asked if you had any papillons, because those are the only actual French dog in the list you named.
Anyway.
Yeah. Which is why it used to be called the Poodle Parade, and we had a lot of people who thought nobody was welcome but poodle, which is why we've changed to the Canine Cavalcade. Because yes, as you wisely know, poodles are not actually French, but we love them, and we love the French bulldog, and we love the papillons, and we love all of our little rescue buddies that are a lovely mix.
Do you know papillon means butterfly in French?
Okay. I did not know that.
Actually, I did.
This has been quite an educational evening.
Anyway, we want to go back to the festival.
So then over on the other stage,
while
the puppies are dancing away, we culminate with the Femme Fatale's drag review. Belladonna and her ladies.
Oh, well, I'm a gay man, and I love drag, and I've got a cute boy that's up there that I kind of see once in a while. Hey!
There you go. Well, it is great fun and the place for you. And let me tell you, you will not be the only one there. You will be in good company.
Oh, ooh la la.
Well, then I'm dressing up because I might get a date.
There's going to be lots of guys for you, Joe Michael.
Daddy needs a date.
Yes.
I don't need any more dates.
We welcome everyone. And if you've spent any time with Santa Barbara, you'll know we don't just have wineries. We are very... We're a very mixed community up here, so you will be in fabulous company.
One of my favorite TV shows was out of Santa Barbara. It was called Psych.
I was going to say Psych,
but it was filmed. It was such a fun TV show.
It was an incredibly fun and wonderful TV show, and it's very popular up here. Okay. And we are particularly amused because it doesn't look anything like Santa Barbara.
See,
no, if you come looking for those beautiful Vancouver forests, you are not going to find them here. We have a lot of beauty, but not that beauty.
Okay, well, we're going to do.
It was very fun. It was one of my favorites as well.
Anyway, we appreciate you coming. Tell us where the park is and what the park is called so we take the train.
It's Oak Park.
Okay,
Oak Park. And it is just off the 101, right off Pueblo. So if you take the train up, you can grab taxis right there at the train station.
That's what
and just
do.
Tell them that you want to go to Oak Park. And they will get you there. It's 600 West Junipero if you're coming with your GPS.
Okay.
If you're coming north on the 405, get off at Pueblo and you can't miss it. If you go to our website, which is fringefestival.com, there's all kinds of directions and information for how to get to us.
We always love you coming on our show, and then we'll be out there. I'm coming out on Sunday. I'll be there on Sunday.
Okay, perfect.
Okay?
All right. I will be there all weekend, so I hope to see you. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it. We appreciate having you.
All right. Well,
take care.
We'll see you next Sunday.
You got it. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Au revoir.
Au revoir. Anyway, was that cool? We got French. We have water. We have friends.
They don't actually have any French at their festival.
It's called, by the way, Starfire.
Starfire water. It's the relationship of the five elements. And actually, we've made water for different French
people. Let's try it. Go ahead, guys.
Johnny Holiday speaking French. We've had Johnny Holiday drink a water.
Oh, yeah.
Different notables. Terry Guida, who's a.k.a. Mr. Brainwash. We've sponsored his art shows.
Oh, yeah.
And so what this is actually another French thing. Jacques Baptiste proved the concept of water memory almost 35 years ago, but the scientific community treated him like a modern-day Galileo, and they basically, instead of burning him at the cross, they just ruined his reputation, and he got defunded, and he died of depression.
Oh, wow.
But anyway, so now fast forward to now, Luc Montagnier, another French the Nobel Prize winner Luc Montagnier for discovering the HIV virus, proved that water can be used as medicine by programming it with frequency. So if anybody out there Googles water memory Nobel Prize winner, you'll see a documentary. It's only 52 minutes short of Luc Montagnier showing the future of medicine. So anyway, back to what we're doing with water is we entrain the water with specific frequencies that are very benevolent, like from probiotics, from fruits. I have some of these discs here that if you taste your water and see what that tastes like, and then we put it on these charging plates
that resonate
at 30,000 hertz with different far infrared frequencies, your water will taste different if you taste it now and then after we put it on there. We've already done this to the water, but we can do it more and more and more.
Okay.
So what we're teaching with water is that you are the water you're thirsting for, and that when we have positive thoughts, when we're around positive environments like a yoga studio or a sacred mountain or something, when you sit there, it actually makes you taste different if you had the opportunity to drink yourself. So what
is this like 100% alkaline water?
It's alkaline. It's not 100%.
No. Last time I drank alkaline water, I got so sick.
No, that's very good. A lot of the alkaline waters out there on the market are like marketing themselves as like 9.5 or 10.0, thinking more is better. This is actually more like a Fiji range. This is at 8 plus, so it's like 8.2, 8.4, which your body can take in all the time. So we're all about moderation, but we're not trying to sell in on a fad like saying, oh, this is 11 or 10 or whatever.
Yeah.
We're looking at this as a lifestyle. We've been the official water at Conscious Life Expo for 7 years.
And this is where I tried it the first time, was at Conscious Life
Expo. Oh, so you've seen it. Wow.
Yeah, well, I got a bottle of it. I was dying of thirst, and I got a bottle of it where I was at, because you guys are right near where you registered to get
in. Yeah, we're the sponsor, so we're up front. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what we're doing and what we like to share is that if you do any type of pilgrimage or you do any type of energy work or receive energy healing, if you've been worked on before and have made your elements that make you kind of like feng shui, when your five elements have been cultivated to such an extent, you can keep the energy that you're receiving. So if you take a crystal to like the top of Mount Shasta or something, you'd bring that crystal home, or you take a crystal to an Indian ceremony, you know, like a sweat lodge where they're doing lots of spiritual prayers.
Mm-hmm.
You take that crystal home after it was in that high vibrational energy, that crystal will be way more powerful than how it was before. But you are like this crystal, and if you bring higher vibrational things into your body, like very high vibrational structured water, when you receive a healing or if you do energy work or if you've meditated, you, when you go back to work or are around your pets will even treat you differently because you will energetically be different than before and you'll be able to keep that energy.
I've had that experience. You brought the water on Sunday and I had to do a few things and I felt better.
Yeah, it will make you feel better and longer. So now you've tasted this water. I want to show you something. The water is already, if you notice, like if you can comment on how it tastes.
It's delicious. Different. I've had it before. It's fantastic water.
So now this is already.
I had my whole bottle. I drank the whole thing.
There's like a warmth taste to it.
Okay.
Like a warmth taste.
So what's this wonderful
thing? So what I'm going to do, I have a vortexer. If you imagine the flower of life, like you see it usually flat as a cutaway diagram.
Oh, yeah.
If you imagine that.
Metatron symbol.
Yes, Metatron's cube, the flower, the seed of life, all these different symbols, even the tree of life, start from somewhere inside the flower of life. So if you're looking inside this tube here I have, it has basically a cross-section in 3D of the flower of life.
Oh,
and so we are able to pour, propagate water through this while it's vortexing around the geometry in 3D of the flower of life. But the little spheres in there are made from a very high frequency ceramics. And I have an example of that here.
Yeah.
So that's to that's what I'm wearing around my neck right now. It's a very high frequency ceramic.
Okay, yeah. So that converts a lot of the EMFs
It's from Japan.
Oh, yeah. So this is from Japan, this box here. So taste that water. And I'm going to pour this through. I'm going to pour your water right now through the vortex tube. And your water will, you'll notice it will be a little different. So now here, let me do this to your water. So what we're showing.
We're just using one bottle to try and
save. Oh, I want
to show
this.
Anyway, folks out there, it's quiet on the radio.
Water is precious.
We have a wonderful
so taste that. And it will be different than before.
Starfire water.
Okay, yeah. So I'm doing it more. So anyway.
You know, it does taste different.
So that was just.
It doesn't taste as warm anymore now. It just tastes more like light.
Tastes good?
Light and fresh.
So okay, now that was just through geometry. Now, these, like you said, from Japan, those the EMF things or whatever you have on your neck there, we have this in a clay that doesn't even need to touch water. So now, mind you, your water's already been worked on, but we're going to put your water on top of this ceramic. They're basically discs. And in about 10 seconds, your water, without even going through our vortex pipe, will be very different. And you may notice it tastes sweeter. You may notice it even falls into your body more. So again, our water, we've already done this, but now we're doing it more and more. It's almost like a more of a medicine grade type of what we're doing, which we wouldn't really want people to do that without knowing what this is because they might go into a cleanse. So how the water is in stores, like at Erewhon, Lassen's, where they sell this water, Rainbow Acres, a bunch of stores, and like even from Beverly Hills to Melrose, like we're at Fred Siegel on Melrose, like for like almost like 6 years already, is that this is water. It's very hydrating, but we can do more to it. We can do more, and you can do more. You can do more to you. So if you do the work, when you eat your superfood or have your juice in the morning, if you've already done yoga or meditated, you come on in and you receive that information of the intelligence of nature in the form of the sunlight or in the juice, because you're now more receptive to what's being offered, that can do more. And you won't maybe even need to eat dinner because you like are these like yogis that maybe eat once a week, right? Like the Eritrean, which you call it, Ineshia. I think that's what you pronounce it, Ineshia, Inedia. So we're just helping facilitate people to express and radiate their highest self and to connect to others in the same way.
Hold on 1 second. We got it.
I only eat once a day.
Who's
normally.
This?
What do you eat?
Because I meditate
Hello?
The rest of the time.
Yeah.
Hello, hello?
Hello.
Yeah, who's this? Welcome.
Hello.
Welcome to our show. Yeah, you're on Cameron Sports Live. Who's this? Hello?
This is Jeff. Yeah. Who am I talking to?
This is Cameron, the leader of the pack. We're talking about this wonderful
leader
water.
We're
talking about the Starfire water.
I think
water.
He's calling a wrong number.
I don't know.
Really?
Were you,
is it Harley Dean?
No, you definitely are calling a wrong number. You're live right now on the air with
We're
LA Talk
live
Radio.
Yeah.
But you're welcome for the high energy.
Yeah, that's right. We got the high energy. Where are you calling from, may I ask?
I think we scared him.
Oh, I'm in the Midwest.
Oh, whereabouts?
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin! Go Wisconsin.
So you have questions about our spiritual water that increases our spirituality and makes us healthier.
There's so many more synchronicities when you bring in higher vibrational anything, whether it's water.
He doesn't even know what he's calling.
You're calling the download.
You're calling LA Talk Radio, Los Angeles Talk Radio.
Well, you wanted to hear our show. So tell now, could you get it in Wisconsin?
You can order the water anywhere in the world. It's available on our website, starfirewater.com. People order pallets of this, or you can order one case. But bigger than that, bigger than, like, say, buying water, when we're at, like, events, we don't look at water as something as it's being good because it came from a certain place. We look at water as one of the five elements that are even found in an empty room. You may look into a room and there's nothing there, but a feng shui master or a vastu, if you're into a yoga concept of feng shui, is that even in the emptiness, the five elements are expressing themselves. So if you take a nap in the air element, you may not be as well rested as if you took a nap in the earth element, because that will energy, even though there's not a mountain in your room, that earth element will ground you. So looking at water like that.
Anyway, well, I want to thank you, everyone, for
coming
on.
These things, by the way, we put our water on feel amazing.
We got time. Thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you so much.
StarfireWater.com. Give us your name.
I'm Jeffrey Allen Carrillo. I'm one of the people to share water. It's called Starfire Water with the planet. Thank you. We're at Erewhon and Lassen's.
And 310-867-373.
If you have any questions, we love teaching people how to reestablish their water element in their home and in their body and in the world. Amini Makoni.
Thank you very
water
much.
Water is life.
Thank you very much. Okay. With that in mind, we want to thank you for all, everyone. John Michael.
Hey, guys. Don't forget to call me.
Amber Martinez.
All right, guys. Awesome joining you.
Okay. Good night from Los Angeles.
Is this for you?
That's for you. Oh, awesome.
I'm just.
You're listening to Sports and Life with Cameron Datsker.